continuing with our little group. We're all getting sick, and the person who wrote this book is getting very sick. She's so sick that she can't actually go to the next satsang. And this is where it starts. My temperature continued to rise rapidly while slowly everything grayed and blurred. In spite of Bob's desire to stay with me, we decided that it would be wiser for him to attend the satsang. Uneasy and worried, Bob left. So I thought, didn't Christ say, if you pray to God, he may give it to you or not give it to you? If you pray to God in my name, he may give it to you. But if you pray to me, you'll surely have it. So, eyes closed, I prayed to the Master. Oh, Sadhguru, please grant me health just for one more day. Let me come to your last satsang and then have your darshan just one more time. One day, one day, one day. Over and over again, I deliriously repeated the words. Then a knock on the door. Master's orders! A cheerful voice brought me back to consciousness as I opened my eyes. Master's orders! Repeated Mohan as he stood there in the middle of the room. I think Mohan was Kirpal Singh's driver, correct? Yeah. Master's orders! He exclaimed once again and put the tray with a tea kettle, a cup and biscuits into the tabletop. Master said, she is very, very sick. Take this tray to her. She has to drink up the tea and eat up the biscuits. Parshad, Parshad, Mohan rejoiced. Bowing, hands folded, and grinning happily, Mohan left the room. I forced myself to get out of bed and settle in front of the tray of Parshad. Sipping and eating, eating and sipping, my tears like raindrops mixed with the tea. Where in the world would I find such compassion, such flawless, warm love, and such concern? How is it that the beloved Master, having thousands upon thousands of disciples, knows who went and who did not go to satsang? How can he know who is sick and who is healthy? Sobbing, I drank the prasad tea, ate Master's crisp round cookies, while understanding remained beyond me. The tea was finished, cookies eaten to the last one, when suddenly I realized that the fever was gone, and my legs once again felt quite normal. The wave of health continued, surging up and up and up, till my whole body felt completely well. Just my head remained a little fuzzy. Then in a flash, as if someone had pulled off a woolen cap, the sickness was gone, and gone without a trace. Thunderstruck and awe, I gasped. Immediately got up, walked around on the Persian rug, and stretched. There was no sign of illness remaining anywhere, no pain, not even a twitch. Completely healed and well all over, my gratitude knew no bounds. A cause for a feast, thinking thus, I jubilantly entered the beautiful tiled bathroom and celebrated by washing my dusty face in the clear, cool water, bubbling out from 1-foot-long pipe under the sink. The water poured onto my dusty, dirty feet, and I felt better than the Mongol Emperor Shah Jahan as he feasted while triumphantly surveying his fabulous riches. Then Bob returned from the satsang, quite worried, and opened the door, staring in utter disbelief as he saw me sitting in the stylish chair in front of an empty tray, healthy, happy, clean, and grinning as wide as Mohan. After I told him what had happened, Bob exclaimed in utter wonder, "Who can comprehend such power? Who can sing of such greatness?" Graciously, Maharaji fulfilled the last part of the prayer as well. In the early morning hours, we were present at his holy satsang. The rays of the emerging sun meekly trickled through the green foliage from the sapphire sky, softly playing on the colorful turbans and the saris, glowing warmly on the rim of Gerald spectacles and gently sliding down Werther's back. Bob, in his newly washed, rumpled Indian shirt, sat in the shade of the ashram wall on his velvet-tasseled pillow. The superior one thus spoke. There is a hymn of Guru Nanak in which he presents a vivid picture of the world drifting into illusion and oblivion, and how the individual can be rescued from this drastic plight, if he so wishes. So Guru Nanak describes it as a vast, dangerous ocean containing mighty breakers and treacherous whirlpools. And what is the cargo of the ships that sail in this ocean? Poison, and every ship overladen with it. One can picture each physical form as a ship or a boat, drifting aimlessly on the vast ocean of life, laden with the poison of Maya, of delusion. Birth upon birth, he tosses about in the storms of life. Sometimes the soul goes under, sometimes it rises to the surface, but it can see no end in this existence. One knows nothing of the past or what will happen in the future. One is just going wherever the current carries one. The ocean of mind contains limitless waves upon waves. Sometimes they are waves of enjoyment, sometimes of anger or lust or greed or attachment or ego. Man is pushed from pillar to post. We are drenched in a whatever color that comes along, dancing to the tune of the moment, saturated in forgetfulness. God is forgotten. Self is forgotten. We just drift along aimlessly. This condition is terrifying. And who can see this true condition of affairs? Only he who stands on the edge, for he who is drifting is not conscious of what is happening. He has no awareness of what is to come. Learned or illiterate, rich or poor, cultured or uncouth, yet all are in the same position. Masters come into the world. They see the souls in these dire straits, and they stand on the edge, you see. On board a ship, two things are most necessary: a captain and some radar or equipment to guide the ship away from rocks and shoals. Without these, what hope is there of saving the ship? So he, God, who has given salvation to millions, will bring us to the feet of the Guru, who places this tiny boat of ours on the mighty ship of Nam. On very large ships, many tons of wood, iron, and stone can be carried without any danger of the ship sinking. So the Guru puts you on a spiritually unsinkable ship, and he himself is the captain. So know that if you meet a true Guru, you have met the Lord. He is not only a guru, but a messenger from God come to take you back to him. Go wherever he leads you. If you obey him, you will become what he is. If not, if your mind steps in and interferes, you will not be able to go anywhere near him. Those who have met a perfect master are greatly blessed. Those who have not should go and search until they find one. For this is not a theoretical subject, but one of practice, to rise above the mind and the senses. Only an experienced person can give an experience of higher knowledge. If one desires an experience of the truth itself, it can only be experienced through one who is experienced in the truth. This is the law, and ever has been, and ever will be. Then Master finishes his talk, and the translator added cheerfully, "Sail on the Satguru's ship." Bob, smiling at the translator, said, "And with the breeze of his love filling out the sails of our souls, on the frigate of Nam, we shall sail safely back to our heavenly home." And we all got here on a ship. We had to sail across the ocean to get to Yellow Point.